Good evening. Now, I will want you to think, what is impossible for you? What situation in your life seems impossible? Take your outline. I forgot the word. Outline. And write it down, please. Write it down. And what Jenny Heller, this is for you. Okay, she loves the fill-in, so I did it for her. So she knows. What is impossible for you? What seems impossible? I'll give you a few moments to write that down. Because we all face things that seem impossible. And what for some, it is financial. There's never enough money. For others, it might be physical. There's always pain. There's always ailment. And for just what others, it may be emotional. I don't understand why it is this way. I don't understand myself. Next, or it could be spiritual. Mark 10:27 says, when Jesus looked at them and said, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. Amen. God can do anything. But let me clarify that. What is the one thing God cannot do? One thing. It is lie. And God never tells a lie. If God has promised us something, He's going to keep that promise. Guaranteed, He cannot tell a lie. Period. He cannot lie. Jesus looked at them and said, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. That is truth, and it is not a lie. And so what's impossible for you? With God, all things are possible. Not impossible, but possible. And so first let's look at Elijah. Please turn with me to 1 Kings 17, please. In 1 Kings chapter 17. In what verse 1, Elijah tells King Ahab that it's not going to rain except at his command, at his word. There shall be no rain. Later, what the Lord said to Elijah, leave and what go across the Jordan River so that you can hide near Cherith Creek. God knows that what King Ahab is going to be looking for Elijah. So he tells him, go and hide. But if he hides, he's got nothing. He's near a creek. He's got water. But he's got no food. He's got a physical need for food. Verse 4. You can drink water from the creek and eat the food that I've told the ravens to bring you. Ravens bring him food. Now, I have seen birds take food from what somebody's fingers, especially down at the beach. You're just walking along and, well, you've got a French fry and you're holding one. And all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. I saw this past summer. It's right next to me. Somebody else had a French fry. They were eating one. And they were holding one. All of a sudden, boom, and that bird came down. And I felt it go past my head, grab that fry, and it was gone. But I have never seen birds bring food to someone. Never saw that. But yet God made it happen. Elijah needed sustenance. Twice a day. Oh, hold on. Twice a day, God had the ravens bring him bread and meat. Twice a day. He had no garden. He didn't have a fishing pole. It just was a brook, a creek. It was something small. But every day, he had two meals. It is not impossible. God provides. Okay, next, 1 Kings 17, and verse 8 and 9, please. And what the Lord told Elijah, go to the town of Zarephath in what Sidon, and live there. I have told a widow in what that town to give you food. And so he goes. He is walking across this land that has turned completely brown. It is dead. There is nothing. No water, no grass, no plants, no leaves. Probably lots of dead animals are there. That's what you can see in the picture there. Nothing is alive. It is completely dead. But again, God is providing for his prophet Elijah. Verse 10 of 1 Kings 17. When Elijah came near the town with gate of Zarephath, he saw a widow gathering sticks for a fire. Would you please bring me a cup of this water? He asked. Here he is, parched, thirsty. He's been walking. How many hours? We don't know. But he's thirsty. But God has promised him that a widow is going to take care of him. And who does he meet first? Outside the city, gathering sticks, the widow. There she is. And there he is. In 1 Kings 17, 11. And as she left to get it, he asked, would you also please bring me a piece of bread? Verse 12. The widow answered, In the name of the living Lord your God, I swear that I don't have any bread. All I have is a handful of flour and a little olive oil. I'm on my way home now with these few sticks to a cook is what I have for my son and me. And what after that, we will starve to death. This poor widow has one meal left. How many meals do you have at home? A lot more than one. And she knows this is her last meal. Well, I got a handful of flour and I got a little bit of oil. That's all I've got left. I've got nothing. That seemed impossible. That's all she's got. One single meal. None of us have that. But yet, we think it's impossible. you heard what straits are a lot harder than ours. Verse 13, Elijah said, everything will be fine. Do just what you have said. And we'll go home and fix something for you and your son. But first, please make me a small piece of bread and we'll bring it to me. And so, this poor widow cooks some bread and what gives it to him first. Not her needy son, not herself, but to the prophet of God. In verse 14, the Lord, God of Israel, has promised that your jar of flour won't run out, or your bottle of oil won't dry up before he sends rain for the crops. Notice, God has promised. And God cannot lie. This is a surety. It will happen that she will have food to eat until it rains again. God keeps his promises. You heard what situation looked impossible. And what to her it was. There was nothing that she could do. But God can do anything. Next, 16. And what the Lord kept the promise that his prophet Elijah had made, and what she did not run out of what flour or what oil. And she had what she needed. But then several days later, verse 17, several days later, but the son of the woman who owned the house got sick. And he kept getting worse until finally he died. This is the physical problem. Her son is dead. But there's a second problem here also. And with verse 18, the woman shouted at Elijah, "What have I done to you? I thought you were God's prophet. Did you come here to cause the death of my son as a reminder that I've sinned against God?" She was emotional here. Grief, pain. You helped me before, but look what has happened. He's dead. Blaming him for the problem. My wife used to say, "Honey, I don't know why I'm so emotional. I can't understand it." And sometimes that's true. We can't. We blame others. "It's not my fault, it's yours. You did this, Elijah." But again, God is there. And God does not condemn her for that outburst. Verse 19. Elijah said, "Bring me your son," Elijah said. Then he took the boy from her arms and carried him upstairs into the room. Just where he just was staying. And Elijah laid the boy on his bed. Sorry that I'm stuttering. I don't know why tonight I'm just stuttering. So Elijah has taken the boy and carried him up the stairs to his room. And he lays him there. In verses 21 and 22, Elijah stretched himself out over the boy three times while praying. "Lord God, bring this boy back to life." But the Lord answered Elijah's prayer, and the boy started breathing again. When you face the impossible, do you pray? Or do you just blow it off and not even think about it? Elijah faced the impossible. He's not God. How can I just bring this boy back to life? But he prayed. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered. Amen. He was in need. This boy's in need. If you've got a financial problem, a physical problem, an emotional problem, a spiritual problem, pray. Ask God for help. For just without Him, we can do nothing. John 15:5. The boy is breathing. He what takes him back? What to his mother? Now there's good emotions. It's not, look what you've done. No, he is alive again. He was dead, but he's alive again. Now let's look at Elisha. Another prophet of God. Let's see, I got to move ahead here. Here we go. And I'm going to turn. And just with me into it. 2 Kings, please, chapter 4. 2 Kings, and what chapter 4. Here's a financial problem here, okay? And it's a big one for her, all right? And with verse 1. And just one day, the widow of just one of the Lord's prophets said to Elisha, you know that my, and with that, yeah, you know that before my husband died, he was a follower of what yours and a worshiper of the Lord. But he owed a man some money. And now that man is on his way to take my two sons as his slaves. She's got no money. She's got nothing. She's got two sons. But he's got the right to take them away. Then she'll be all alone. You heard what husband is dead. Her sons are gone. Slaves to somebody else. But she goes to Elisha. And he hears the story. What hears is what is happening. And of course, God's got a solution. Not Elisha. It's God. 2 Kings 4:3-4. Elisha told her, ask your neighbors for their empty jars. After you've borrowed as many as you can, go home and shut the door behind you and your sons. Then begin filling the jars with oil and set each one aside as you fill it. Her sons, help her. They gather all these empty jars, and when she starts pouring them in, from one jar, she starts filling up all these other jars. Just one after the other. Nothing is impossible for God. Elisha didn't do that. She didn't do that. God did it. She had a need. And God took care of it. 2 Kings 4:7. And then after she was told, Elijah, and just what had happened, he said, sell the oil and what you use is part of the money to pay just what you owe the man. And what you and your sons can live on just what is left. God gave her more than she needed. She had an abundance now. Live on the rest. God provided. Nothing is impossible for God. You may be facing some financial issues. Give it to the Lord. Don't keep taking it back, but leave it there. Give it to the Lord. Now we've got a physical problem again. Naaman. In what? 2 Kings, please. In what? Chapter 5. 2 Kings 5, please. And we're looking at what, verse 1. And what Naaman, he just was the commander of the Assyrian army. And what, notice, the Lord had what helped him and his what troops defeat their what enemies. So the king of what Syria had respected Naaman very much. Naaman just was a brave soldier, but he had leprosy. The Lord helped this Syrian. Not an Israelite, but a Syrian. But this man had leprosy. That was a death sentence back then. There was no cure for leprosy. It's a skin disease that just keeps eating at your flesh, and then parts start falling off. You lose fingers, hands, arms, and then pretty much you bleed to death. That's what happens. Leprosy. In what some people, it is very fast. In other people, it is very slow. It's like cancer. But the Lord had helped this man. Whoops, hold on. I'm stuck here. And so Naaman's king sent him to the king of Judah. And the king of what Judah said, "What is this? Am I a god that I can heal this man? He must be wanting to start a war with me." But Elisha heard that Naaman was there. And so he sent someone to bring what Naaman to his place. And what Naaman comes. Elisha sent someone outside to say to him, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Then you'll be completely healed." Something simple, right? Go and wash 7 times. But Naaman doesn't want to do it. The Jordan River, that's filthy. I've got rivers back in Damascus. They're much better. But he's got some expectations that are wrong. Okay? But Naaman stormed off grumbling. "Why couldn't he come out and talk to me? I thought for sure he would stand in front of me and pray to the Lord his God. Then just wave his hand over my skin and cure me." He was expecting something completely different. Completely different. But God made it simple, didn't he? God made it simple. He was unrealistic in his expectation. Do you have unrealistic expectations of God? Do you put God in a box and say, "Lord, this is how I want you to answer"? God doesn't always answer that way. God said, "Go wash 7 times." Something simple. We make our problems more difficult. Not God. Not God. This had a simple solution. Not a complicated one. But notice that he grumbled. He grumbled. How many times do you and I grumble? He his servants went over to him and said, "Sir, if what the prophet had what told you to do something difficult, you just would have done it. So why don't you do what he said? And go wash and be cured." They knew that, man, that's all you got to do. You don't have to jump through hoops and do this and do that. Just go and wash. Naaman walked down to the Jordan River. He just waded out into the water. And was stooped down in it seven times. Just as Elisha had what told him. And just right away, he was cured. And his skin became as smooth as a child's. He had leprosy one moment, later. Okay, I don't know what happened. There we go. Yeah. And he was cured. Completely gone. He didn't have to pay for just baby skin. God gave it to him. Smooth skin. And just once he obeyed, it was done. It wasn't difficult. Not complicated. Seven times go and wash, and it was done. And here's what physical problem was completely taken care of. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen. Now let's look at Jonah. Another prophet of God. And with Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jonah is given clear directions. Absolutely clear directions on what he is to do. One day, what the Lord told with Jonah, the son of Amittai, to go to the great city of Nineveh, and would say to the people, "The Lord has seen your terrible sins. You are doomed." Not a very difficult message. It would probably only take about 10 seconds as he walked through the city. Every few seconds he could say this. Clear directions. What city? And just what he is to say. Very simple. He's got a spiritual problem, Jonah does. He's got a spiritual problem. And with Jonah just 1:3. Instead, and with Jonah ran from the Lord. He went to the to the seaport of Joppa and bought a ticket on a ship, and that was going to Spain. Then he got on the ship and he sailed away to escape. He's got rebellion. Rebellion. He's not doing just what God clearly said. Go to Nineveh and what preach. And what preach against it, you are doomed. But he doesn't go there. He's got rebellion in his heart. And just like we sometimes have too. We've got a spiritual problem. But the Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea. And what there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So that ship was like to be broken. Jonah's on this ship and he's down inside. He is sound asleep. Nothing's bothering Jonah. He is running from God and he's not even concerned about it. He's asleep. He's at peace. But outside there's this storm and these sailors, they know, man, now this is big trouble. We've seen nothing like this. They start throwing cargo overboard. Everything that isn't nailed down, it's overboard. And then they try to row, and Nothing's helping. But it is only getting worse. Until finally, the sailors ask Jonah, "What should we do with you to make the sea calm down?" Jonah knows he is the problem. They know he is the what problem? What should we do with you to make the sea calm down? And what Jonah told them, "Throw me into the sea and it will calm down. I'm the cause of this terrible storm." Jonah tells him, I am the cause. This is my fault. Throw me in. Get rid of me. Toss me in. And so they do. They will pray first because they don't want to be what guilty of this man's death. And they toss him overboard. No other ships nearby. No land nearby. Just the open, rough seas. They toss him overboard. Knowing for sure he's going to die. But the Lord sent a big fish to swallow Jonah. A big fish swallows Jonah. He's fish food. But there is blessing in that. In what Jonah, he was in this, in what side the fish for what 3 days and what 3 nights. Whoops, it didn't go. What did it smell like in there? What did he do in there? But I bet he thought about his sin. That's why he's there. And just, what do I see? I see God's compassion. Yeah. This is a prophet who has disobeyed a clear command to go to Nineveh. Preach against it. You are doomed. And he's not done it. If this fish did not swallow Jonah, Yehib would have drowned. But God sent this fish just for him. Just for him. God's compassion. Sometimes we think of what God as this man upstairs who's got a big stick. And if I do something wrong, he's going to beat me over the head with it. Sometimes that is what we need. But God is compassionate. God sent this big fish to swallow Jonah. And 3 days in, what, 3 nights, there he is. Thinking about his sin. And Jonah says that this fish took me to the roots of the mountains. And I had seaweed all around my head. But from inside the fish, and what Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And what else could he do? He wasn't going anywhere till he prayed. He had to confess his sin. But God was compassionate to Jonah. And what Jonah got a second chance to go to Nineveh. The Lord commanded the fish to vomit up with Jonah on the shore, and it did. Now, what did that smell like? But there was Jonah. He got a second chance. Because God is compassionate. God saved, God spared Jonah. He was wayward. Nothing is impossible for God. Maybe God has us in a difficult place because we need to learn. Jonah did. And it took a fish to do it. But God can use fish. And God can use food. And God can use anything He wants to get us closer to Him. Jonah 4:2, you know, Jonah knew God. He knew God, and yet he was running from God. So he prayed, "Our Lord, I knew from the very beginning that you wouldn't destroy Nineveh. That is why I left my own country and headed for Spain. And you are a kind and merciful God. And you are very patient. And you always show love. And just you don't like to punish anyone, not even foreigners." Jonah knew God. And yet he still disobeyed Him. How well do you know God? What are your difficulties today? Financial, physical, spiritual, emotional? What is your difficulty today? What seems impossible? Give it to God. And ask God to help. Trust in Him. Follow Him. Don't be like Jonah and go the other way. That'll only make it worse. Let's pray. Father, nothing is impossible for You. Help us, Lord, to trust You and follow You. In the name of Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot 4 verses. Hold on. Yep, application. Sorry about that. I was ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 1:21. So God makes it possible for you and us to stand firmly together with Christ. We can stand firmly together with Christ because God made it possible. Not us, but it's what Christ has done. Matthew 17:20. And what Jesus replied, "If you had faith, then no larger than a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain, to move from here to there, and it would." Everything would be possible for you. What kind of faith do you have? How big is your faith? How big is it? Mark 9:23. And what Jesus replied, "Why do you say, 'if you can'? For anything is possible for someone who has faith." Anything is possible. Anything. Last verse. Matthew 19:26. Click. Jesus looked straight at them and said, "There are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything." Amen. Now let's pray. Father, thank You that You can do anything. May we trust You with the things that we see as impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.